Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today. Hey everybody, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well right where you are and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. Today we're going to continue doing our summer throwback series, and I have to say that I am really loving this. Going back and listening to these episodes has just brought so much joy to my heart. I can see how much I've grown over the years, and just reminding me of all of the beautiful conversations that we've had on this podcast, and it's such a joy. I've got a great one for you today. Today we are throwing it all the way back to my conversation with author and minister Randy Kay. Randy Kay wrote a book called Dying to Meet Jesus, and it's all about his face-to-face encounter with Jesus during a near-death experience, and it was just such a deep conversation. The presence of the Lord was so profoundly on it. It was so vulnerable and honest and raw, and I just absolutely love that. My goal here with Revealing Jesus is multifaceted, obviously, but I want to bring you real and raw and vulnerable conversations. I never want to be somebody who just gives you the quick answer. I want it to be real deep and honest, and I just loved that about this conversation. But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministries sponsors, Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment rental, Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus, Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained, and Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. I hope and I pray that these episodes have blessed you. I pray that as you're listening, your faith is encouraged and inspired, and I invite you to sow back into this ministry so we can keep bringing you these faith-building episodes. You can find out more information on how to sow back into this ministry at christinapereira.org/donate or link in the show notes. Thanks so much. Without further ado, let's jump back into my conversation with Randy Kay.
Thank you, Christina. It's great to be with you today.
Oh, well, the pleasure and the honor is all ours, all ours. I love that you, I love what you put in your mission statement for your ministry. You said, our mission is simple, to share the infinite love of God to a broken people, yearning to know that He is real and that His attention is focused on you as though you were the only person in the world. I love that so much.
You know, that was, Christina, something that I realized when I was with Jesus in heaven after dying for a little over 30 minutes. My heart had stopped from blood clots and a rare bacterial strain that was resistant to antibiotics, which caused further clotting throughout my body, causing a traffic jam of red blood cells throughout my body. And so that was my demise, but on the worst day of my life, that is dying and death, was the greatest day, which was being in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the first impression really I had, was when He looked at me face to face, I felt as though I was the only person in the world. And I realized that that is how He sees us. Mm-hmm. Even though the cares of the world are on His shoulders, He sees us exclusively. He's devoted to us. as though we are the only one. And he would indeed go to the cross for you and me if we were the only people in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way that he loves is so astounding. He has this relentless focus upon those who he loves. It always astounds me. Well, I've shared so much about you. Is there something that you'd like to share with our listeners, maybe about you, that's maybe something personal just to help them get to know you?
Well, you know, Christina, like so many people, I had looked for worldly accolades or recognition, really approached life wanting to achieve. And it's kind of, isn't it just like our, at least Western civilization, in that when our children are young, oftentimes people will ask them, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to be this or that? And rarely, if ever, would we ask, or other people ask children, you know, that question, and they would respond, well, I just want to be loving toward other people. I want to be a better person. I want all of these other more mm-hmm. ethereal and more, let's say, more gracious means of becoming the person that God ordained or intended for us as the singular person that he has established on this earth for a singular purpose. So I think that's, so I was striving after all of these goals. But one thing that I wrote about in the book, Christina, was that our family had struggled with mental illness. So in my case, depression, clinical depression, and my father had that. My son had a touch of that as well. And then my daughter suffered many strokes when she was younger, and that caused her to go into seizures. And that caused a number of different issues for her. So we really had some struggles within the family, even though if you were to look at us, we might look like the proverbial all-American family. We were successful financially, lived in a, you know, fairly large house in San Diego, promoted, corporate CEO, headed the corporate operations for the fastest growing pharmaceutical company at the time, and flew out to Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, we were on all of the major networks and on the front cover of Time magazine.
Wow!
To introduce a cure for Alzheimer's. We never say cure in the pharma industry, but it was about as close as you could get. So we had that going on, and then the FDA forced a recall because of the inflammation that was caused by the drug. And so that was the demise. I had to raise subsequently as a CEO of a biotech company about $60 or $70 million to keep that company afloat. And so my wife and I sat in a coffee shop, and we had all of these things going on with her nightly screams from our daughter having these many strokes and all of the financial demise, actually, of going through these things. And we said, well, at least we have our health. And then 2 weeks later, I was dead.
Wow. That is so traumatic. I'm so thankful that Jesus is so good. He can take the depths of the most tragic pain like that and turn it around. One of my favorite speakers says he can win with a pair of twos. And you were dealt a lot of twos.
There were a lot of twos. And, you know, another thing about that, we know oftentimes is that God seems to wait until the 11th hour, you know, and for my 11th hour was lying on my back in the bedroom, just staring at the wall, shadow being cast from the moonlight and crying out, God, I need to know you as I need to see you this time. I even though I had been ordained in Christian ministry, I had taught at a 4,000 member church, you know, I was active within the Christian community, having been a former agnostic. And so I'd been an agnostic in my youth, came to be a Christian in a charismatic church, and then had this crisis of faith. And little did I know, that's not something that anyone wants to do, is that challenge God to show up. It really isn't. You know, that is, I think we might say, tempting God, or at least challenging him in a way that is, I look in retrospect, unfair, because I was insisting that he reveal himself in his personhood. I was halfway expecting, Christina, for for some visage of God, or
right,
the long flowing white hair. And I was just waiting for that, demanding right. that would happen. And you know, the irony of it is that it did happen, but yeah. It took my heart stopping to, so that I would eventually be ushered into the presence of yeah. our Lord Jesus and God Almighty.
Yeah. You know, he's so faithful. And I think sometimes we do pray those prayers. And, you know, I think you were probably expecting a Apostle Paul encounter on the road to, you know, Damascus when, yeah, right. you know, an angel of the Lord struck him blind.
But yes, without the blindness part,
right.
You know, I would have gone.
Right, right. We don't want the blindness part.
Well, mine was in the death. So I guess I would prefer right. maybe the blindness
to the death.
Would be
yeah.
maybe a preferable option.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. But I mean, you had such a powerful encounter with Jesus. Tell me what it was like being face to face with Jesus.
Oh, this is the part, Christina, where
I know I'm going to cry too.
I just, okay. Yeah,
it's okay. We can just get wrecked here together. It's totally fine.
My wife tells me, you know, maybe once you cannot tear up when you get there. But the thing about the heavenly memories that is from heaven is that it's so vivid.
Yes.
That I'm there again. And so I was crying out, you know, yeah. in the name of Jesus after my heart has stopped, and I stopped, and I found myself in this almost galactical space. It was very strange. It was like a spiral galaxy. And then I was being pulled by a light. That sounds almost cliche in an afterlife experience encounter, but I discovered that the glory of God is that light pulling me. And because when I was when I found myself cheek to cheek with Jesus after crying out his name, my first thought was, so this is love. I'd never experienced consummate love.
Yeah.
As a person, and not just an emotion or an action.
Yeah.
And the first words he spoke to me were, trust me. And I'd been such an untrusting person throughout my life. I'd been an agnostic. I did not believe, by the way, in near-death experiences. I discounted them until I had my own. And I had had this life of feeling like they needed to achieve or to be recognized by others when it was actually insecurity that was driving that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just caved to the floor, and I was wrecked.
Yeah.
I was wrecked being in the presence of the Lord God. And I just cried profusely.
Yeah.
And wrapped his arm around my left shoulder. They gently picked me up, and he turned me face to face, and I looked into the eyes of love, the eyes of love, and they tunneled into every dark place within me and illuminated
yeah.
me with the light of love, the light of Jesus, and I was immersed in his presence. And the glory of Jesus, such that you could have thrown me in a trash bin. I was in the glory, glorious paradise of heaven, and you could have thrown me in a trash bin as long as it would have been with Jesus. That's all that mattered, because he was that prevalent, that there are no superlatives. Actually, there are no words in all of the lexicons within the world to describe what that's like. It's just too, there's a word in heaven, but there's not a word here to explain that, because it is immeasurably beyond anything we could hope or imagine.
Yes. I struggle too with just sometimes even describing him. He's so beautiful. You know, I always say how beautiful he is and how majestic he is, but there's just words always just fall short. And, you know, for my experience that I've had, and, you know, just in the presence and the love of Jesus, that love is, it's like starving, you know, and then feasting for the first time in your life. It's so satisfying. It's like every place in you that was starved is now so satisfied. And it's just gut wrenching to even think of leaving it, you know?
That is a great analogy, Christina. And I love that because it is, we don't sometimes realize how starved we are for the Lord Jesus, how needful we are for the Lord Jesus, because the irony is that he's continually desiring to be with us, and he is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's one thing that I learned being with him is that he has this yearning to be with us.
Yes.
And so as much as we want to sense his presence, as much as we want to be steeped in his glory, as much as we do, he wants it more.
Yes.
He wants it more than we do.
Yes.
And he loves us infinitely more than certainly we love him or that we love mm-hmm. anyone else. And that is almost, I guess it is impossible to comprehend in this life, but mm-hmm. the good news is in heaven, we adopt the Christ mindset that Paul talked about. The Christ mm-hmm. mindset becomes predominant. You know, in this world, we struggle with soul, spirit, and flesh. Our mind is telling us one thing. God is perhaps telling us another thing. And then it kind of gets mixed up in the milieu of life. And sometimes we can get confused. But in heaven, that, of course, the body is gone. And the mind of Christ then becomes prevalent because the spirit, that is our spirit, which is born anew through Christ, becomes predominant over the soul. So there's no longer warring between the two.
Mm-hmm.
There's an absolute devotion such that his truth infuses everything and everyone in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an incredible thing that we can't realize in this world.
I'm so looking forward to that day when it's just Jesus only, you know, and you're right. We can get, you know, distracted by things going on around us. And that's why I always tell people that the gospel is not something that you hear once. It's something that you hear every single day, because every day we face encounters and situations where we have to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us and who we are in him, so that we can then enforce his victory that he's already purchased and already won in our life in that situation.
Yes.
You said something on your interview with Sid Roth that I absolutely loved. You started talking about the Lord's passion and love for the lost. And you started talking about this lamenting cry that he has. Can you talk about that?
You know, thinking back on that, there's nothing like the lamentation the Lord has for the lost. And it's not the sorrow or sadness that we experience in this world, because it's not something where he's, you know, in a state of sadness at all. It's the separation that causes that mourning, mourning, that mourning that the Lord has for the lost, for those who are either not listening to him or that are not saved.
Yeah.
And that desire, that mourning is over the separation. And I realized that the separation on all forms of suffering that we experience and all forms of sadness that we experience is because of the separation that we feel mm-hmm. from the Lord. And he feels it in a different way, but he feels that separation also. But his feeling of separation is from the point of consummate love.
Mm-hmm.
Our feeling of separation oftentimes is from desperation. His is, I want And he cries with us. He weeps mm-hmm. with us when we go through struggles, when we go yes. through pain and fears. He weeps with us. And that's something that I didn't fully understand, mm-hmm. the extent with which God empathizes with us wholly and completely. Because, of course, Jesus experienced suffering in this world. He knows what that's like. Mm-hmm. But the difference is he knows the effect of it, but he was never at the effect
right.
of it. Yep. So he was constantly the overcomer. And so the importance of seeing him interceding for us was paramount to what I call the thriving life.
Yes, absolutely. You know, he's so intertwined with us as one. And I wholeheartedly believe that he experiences, for us, you know, believers, he experiences so much of our life with us and through us. And if we just had eyes to see Christ in us, my line of, you know, what he's called me to do, you know, I've just really allowed him to break my heart for what breaks his. Mm. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about reaching the lost. Because it so breaks his. And, yes. you know, and for me, I've almost experienced it as a groan and just an utter gut groan. And, you know, I love, as you were talking about connection, that reconnection, you know, because of what he's done, he's brought us back into relationship with the Godhead. And he's brought us back into the proverbial garden of Eden, and so that we can walk with him and talk with him once again, you know, like Adam did and like Eve did. And, you know, I'm so thankful that Jesus is a God of relationship. He's not a God of religious ideals and rituals. He wants more than anything simply to just be. And, you know, in my experience, half the time he's just kissing me or hugging me or loving me.
And isn't that, Christina, the way he relates to us?
It is.
That's singular to us. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly how we respond to his voice.
Yeah.
So for some may read a passage and it may make a huge impact on them. And for others, they read it and that's, you know, they read it and it doesn't have that same impact.
Right. Yes.
And only the Lord really knows that. And so I think the thing that really separates us from the Lord are essentially two things. One is fear. And I think the enemy uses fear perhaps more than anything else to disassociate ourselves from that koinonia type fellowship. And the other one is are the trials in life. And Jesus gave us forewarning, didn't he? He mm-hmm. let us know that in this world we would have trials, mm-hmm. and that he's overcome this world. And he also said this life is as a mist. Yeah. So this is a very, very short time that we have to live. And I realize that in heaven, that there are people that maybe we've lost loved ones, or we, you know, we have people that are in heaven now. And the question sometimes is posed, do they know us and what we're doing? Well, they know what Jesus is telling them mm-hmm. about us, and they know that we're here, certainly, because they had that association. I know this sounds silly in a way, but they're cheerleaders in heaven for our life here because it's so short, but our life here is so impactful in terms of the kingdom. It is so quintessential in terms of God's plan for his plan, period, that what we do in this life is critically important to God. And so even so, it's short, and I guess the good news is that our pain is short. You know, we mm-hmm. get to the other side of whatever is causing us sadness or suffering. And then we look back and, you know, the proverbial saying, the memory is kind. We look back and say, oh, I got through it. You know, I look back and I was able to get through this travesty or what have you, or this fear, overcome it. Mm-hmm. And that strengthens us, and it builds our resolve and our ability to deal with the increasing challenges of this world.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because anytime we experience those trials, you know, when we invite God into it, we then come away with something sharper and a new revelation of who God is. And you're absolutely right. He didn't author it, but he will use it, you know. And the Lord told me once, he said, every time the enemy comes against you, he sharpens your blade. And I just had to take the way that I was viewing my suffering and what I've been through in my life, you know, because we've all been through things. And I had to see it as a one, God is going to win ultimately. And two, God is going to use this to make me stronger and more effective against the kingdom of darkness. And so if we can hang on to those two things in our suffering, you know, it can help us endure it, you know, because you're right. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us there'll be trials and tribulations in this life, but be of good joy. You've already overcome them, you know, and Christ in us is so much greater than everything we're facing. You know, you talked about the authority that we have in Christ to bring heaven to earth. And you talked about that in, when you were talking about the cheerleaders, I was thinking of the great cloud of witnesses and how what we decree here on earth is also what's decreed in heaven. Can you talk about that?
Yes, and I think one of the best examples was when I was returned to this world, when my heart started beating again after I was resuscitated. And it had been slightly over 30 minutes. And in heaven, Jesus had told me that he was sending me back. And of course, you know, I wanted to know the answer, and he gave that to me. He said, because you have not fulfilled your purposes yet. And it was after, and I've written about this in terms of what went on during that process. However, when I woke up and, you know, the nurse said, Mr. K, can you hear me? There was this couple by my side, and they were singing the most glorious, glorious, worshipful prayer. And their last name is Israel, of all things. And I was hearing this, and I thought, this beautiful song, I thought, am I still in heaven? Am I partly in heaven? Because it was that beautiful to my ears. And I realized something, that before I had left heaven, I had heard that same song. I had heard the angels singing that same worshipful song. And I realized that their prayers through that worshipful song had reached into the halls of heaven, if you will, and they had echoed through heaven in the worshipful song of the angels. So I heard that in heaven, and then when I awoke to this acrid smell of the hospital and going from paradise to, you know, bring in my broken body and this, you know, terrible environment, I realized that God had enjoined the prayers of the saints in heaven, and that there are angels right now, I believe. In fact, I was trying to remember, there's a song that somebody sang and recorded an angel. I know now that I mentioned it, I should have that singer. But there was actually a recording that was done where there was an angel echoing in a chorus with the song. And that's the way it is in this world and in heaven, that there's an enjoining of our prayers. You know, the Lord's Prayer says as much, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The beginning,
yes,
is that we are enjoining our will. That is, we're understanding God's will as well, that what God desires, God, we worship, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and praises. So we're worshiping him, and then we're asking, Lord, impart to me your will. What should I pray for? What do I need? Reveal that to me. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit is so gracious in revealing that to us, and desires to reveal the things for which we should pray and the things for which we need. And it can come in just a feeling, a compulsion that I've got to I've got to pray for this, or a peace or a comfort or something of that nature. And so we pray that. And then thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying literally. It's kind of like a cup in heaven, resides in heaven. I'm using an analogy, of course. And our prayers go to heaven. They fill that cup to the point where God pours forth that answered prayer. And mm-hmm. it's an enjoining of what happens in heaven. And there's a very real enjoining of what happens in heaven, because there is an accoutrement of angels that are also hearing the Lord's direction and praying and being directed by God as to what they need to do, such that he's pouring down his will into this earth in answered prayers. And it's just mm-hmm. absolutely incredible, that dynamic. And it's one that when people, I guess that I'll end with this, when people think that, oh my goodness, is God hearing my prayers? You know, it seems like I'm not getting answers. You know, it's not happening. And the answer to that is yes, he hears those prayers. And I would say that every prayer that is earnestly prayed through the compulsion of the Holy Spirit speaking to us is answered with a yes, because he desires greater things than we desire. So mm-hmm. we may desire to get out of whatever, you know, whatever trial we are, but God has a greater plan. He has something even richer in what you were talking about, Christina, which is there's a sharpening process. So that I had no idea, Christina, that I had gone through this terribly devastating event and I couldn't walk. I had damaged organs, and I thought this would be the worst event in my life, or had been the worst event in my life. Mm-hmm. And yet God turned that around, Romans 8:28, for good.
Yeah.
And it took that, really. And now I'm getting messages from people, you know, that they're coming to just the impact. I would have never thought, but I was born through the ashes.
Yeah.
And that was well worth it. I guess I would say that I'm very thankful for having died. That sounds strange, I know.
But I know.
I think you know what I mean.
I do. I so do, Randy. That is so beautiful. And, you know, I'm so thankful that that is who he is. You know, he gets good out of the most dire circumstances. Even if we can't see it and we don't know where it's going to be. I want to encourage those believers out there. If you're in a dire situation right now, if there are flames all around you, God can and will take and turn that situation around for good, you know? And I pray that you don't have to die to get there, but, you know.
Die to the flesh, maybe, but, you know, for the spirit, but not die.
Right.
Well, and that's also the, you know, the fact of life, barring a rapture, is that we're all going to have that experience at some point. And we'll have loved ones that will perhaps precede us. But it's inevitability. And so the hope of heaven is something that is absolutely spectacular, mm-hmm. but also the importance of this life. And so with an eye toward heaven, realizing that this life is but a mist, the hope of heaven really is an encouragement that it's all well worth it. There will be no memory, no sorrows, crying, crying yet, tears of joy.
That's right. That's right.
There will be no lamentations in heaven. When we get there.
I firmly believe that. You know, Putty Putman said something to me recently. He said, this life is the only life, the only time that we get to suffer for Jesus. And I thought, wow, that really puts it all in perspective. This life right here, right now, is the only time when we get to lay it all on the line for Jesus. Man, because when we get there, it's all said and done. And it's nothing but joy for the rest of eternity. But this moment, this time right here, this life, God, may we just lay it all on the line for you, Jesus.
So, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's when you said that, Christina, I thought of one thing in particular, and that is, it is an honor to suffer as unto the Lord, to carry our cross, It is a sacrifice that we make to him when we go through that. But also, there's a reward in heaven that we gain. And that reward, I don't think there's, well, I know that there's no one will get to heaven and say, I wish I had a bigger mansion and so-and-so. If you look at the Hebrew Greek translation, when it talks about, you know, the mansion that Jesus said he was creating for us in heaven, that was more translated as a dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
However, the greatest reward is closeness to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do here in this world, will the closeness we have in drawing closer to God will translate over into heaven, such mm-hmm. that closeness will be exponentially more so. But there is a parallel between the closeness that we have in this world and the closeness we have to God in heaven. As maybe odd as that seems, I do believe in last minute conversions. I do believe that there are people who can just cry out the name of Lord and ask him to for forgiveness at that last, whatever moment of time. I do believe in that firmly, but those who have faithfully served him have a closeness to God that is so great. Everyone certainly that goes from this life to heaven has an enhanced closeness to God. Mm-hmm. And those who have served him faithfully have an even greater closeness to God in heaven. And that's something that I learned. And
wow.
It's absolutely amazing that, you know, so it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, draw closer, you know, get closer to him, because when you get there, it will be exponentially more so. And you'll be in the, you'll be with the Lord in such a level of intimacy that will be just beyond words.
I'm so happy that you said that, because that is a place that I have struggled, because I told the Lord, I said, I don't want mansions. I don't want ruling positions. I just want to be with you. That's it. That's all I want. And I remember one time I was having this vision and I was seeing Jesus high up on the throne. And it was, I was seeing the train of his robe filling the temple. And I just saw this, you know, choir of people just worshiping him, thousands and thousands. And I was watching as this train just kind of moved through the crowd of people. And I was so desperate to be so close to him. And I picked up his robe and I held it, you know, I just hugged it, because if that's all I could hug, that's what I wanted.
Mm.
And instantly he was right in front of my face and he hugged me. Mm. And he said, you're going to be with me, because, you know, just, I think, you know, this side of heaven, we can have such an incredible level of intimacy with him, you know, and I'm so happy to hear that we can have that in heaven as well, you know.
Yes.
He's just so beautiful, you know, and he's so lovely and so kind, and he is our greatest reward. You know, I almost cringe when I would kind of hear the joke. People would say, oh, I'm putting another skylight in my mansion. I'm like, I don't want a skylight. You know, I just want him.
Yeah, right. It's so precious. So precious, Christina. And you know, as impactful as that is in that vision and the experience and the intimacy with the Lord here, it is magnified in such a exponentially infinite way in heaven.
Yeah.
That this I will call it a remnant of God's love here that lingers in our spirit, that lingers in our soul. And when we get to heaven, that is times infinite. Yeah. So that there's nothing. I joined a group in Texas, John Burke, who wrote Imagine Heaven. He has become a friend of mine, and he said, hey, we're doing a taping down in Texas. Would you like to come down? So I came down. It was the first time that I had experienced other NDE or afterlife experiencers, if you will. And I felt like it was a heaven reunion. I felt like it was an N of one. It's a scientific term for I was the only one, you know. And we were talking about this and that, oh, you know, the magnified colors and Oh, yes. And the senses in heaven and the this and that, you know, we were exchanging these things about heaven, and the commonalities were striking.
That's amazing.
But the one thing that we agreed on was that the intimacy with the Lord was just absolutely paramount. And that was it. That was everything. Yeah. And it was infinitely more. But the thing of it is, all of us didn't feel that, felt that we were the only one that kind of felt the profundity of what that was like, even though we are now feeling the remnant of what that was like. Still the remnant alone, the lingering presence, the lingering effect of that is so impactful that I could never be the same, and neither could any of them.
Yeah.
We were changed completely because we had seen into the eyes of love. We felt the presence of life. We felt pervasive love throughout us. We felt God's consummate love. And if anyone could even touch a small fraction of what that was, everyone would be saved. Everyone would want to spend more time. Everyone would long for that, because they would just understand an inkling of the love of Jesus for us, and that we would want to give it back even as meagerly as we could possibly. We think of, but we think in here in this life is love is an action, emotion, but the person of love is something that is singular to God, because he's the person of love.
Yeah.
And what does that, we've never met. I mean, I had came from a loving family, and I didn't go through abuse as many have. However, I still had never experienced love like it was and is to this lingering effect today, as with Jesus.
I love that so much. I cannot wait to be face to face in heaven. You know, the glimpses that I've had here on earth with, you know, my walk with him have been life changing, but I fully and completely believe you that they are mere shadows and reflections of what is to come. I really do.
Yes. No, that's so true.
Randy, is there anything burning on your heart that you would maybe like to say to our listeners directly?
I would say, if you don't know him, just pray. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. Ask Jesus to take control of your life, to be your Lord. And if you do know him and you're struggling through whatever, or you're fearful of something, then just know that God's in control, and that no one in your entire life could possibly love you as much. And just follow the words that he gave me initially when I met him face to face, when he said, trust me, trust me.
I love that, Randy. Thank you. Would you like to pray for our listeners to just encounter this real, living, and loving Jesus?
I would be honored. Thank you. Dear Lord, oh, I hear the crying hearts of so many. Lord, you hear their cries. You desperately want them to know that you hear them. You hear them, and you will heal them. And you will provide maybe not the answers to their questions, but you are the answer to all of that their questions. And that will be enough, because I pray that you would impart your presence to them. You will impart your presence such that you will assuage every concern, every suffering, that you will give them the peace and comfort that surpasses their own understanding, that they might know you, know you, not just know of you, but that they will know you, and that they will be fully consumed with love, where you are love, and you care for them so much. So I pray, Lord, that you would give them a heart after you, because we love because you first loved us.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, fill us to overflowing, that we might be able to worship you and praise you, knowing wherever we are that you are Lord. You are our God. You are Elohim. You are Yeshua.
You are our all. You are the great I am.
Yes.
You are sufficient for all that we need. So we give you the glory. We give you the praise that you reign in heaven.
Yes.
And that rain pours forth here on earth such that one day, yes, one glorious day, we will see you face to face in paradise. And there will be no more tears, and it will all have been infinitely worthwhile. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Randy. Well, I hope and I pray that today's show has blessed you. I will have links from today's podcast in the show notes on cpnshows.com under Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. And you will find additional resources to connect with us and our special guest, Randy Kay. And if you want to pick up a copy of his book, Dying to Meet Jesus, at randyk.org and wherever books are sold. Randy, thank you so much for being here. It has been such a pleasure and honor to be with you.
Thank you, Christina, for having me. The honor is all mine.
It is just incredible. And I know it's going to bless people and help reveal so much more of our beautiful Savior Jesus. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.
Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you. And keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you. And we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Prayer Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.